Maya.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
And God's people said amen. God's people said amen again. We bless God for this day, in this day. Through this day, we bless our sovereign God. To all of our ministers and ministry leaders, and to all of you who are assembled here today, we certainly thank God for you. And then to those who are online with us, we thank God for your presence with us today as well. To God be the glory. Let me do this before we share what God has given us. I want to ask now if there's anyone who is burdened, heavy, frustrated, angry, stuck. Would you just come to this altar? And I want to pray with you today. You're heavy in your heart, heavy in your mind, perplexed and grieving. You just need the Lord to hear you, to feel you. I'll make this altar available. Any of you, matter if it's not your station in church, your position. We all stand in need of prayer. But if there's anyone today, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed. You got some stuff on your heart, stuff on your mind. I want to offer this moment of prayer for you. That's my part of my job as your pastor, is to look out for your heart, to look out for your soul. And you can't miss out on this word, because you're so heavy. Some of us will go leave the same way we came. And I love you too much. I love you too much to let you leave like that. We may not get tomorrow. We may not get next Sunday. And I don't know who God wants to save or deliver or set free today, and it could be you. And I don't want you to let your burdens and your issues block you from your blessing. We need more room. Y'all just get a little tighter if y'all can, so we can make this altar available. If you're a minister, a deacon, ministry leader, whomever, if you need to come to this altar today, and you're heavy, burdened, frustrated, angry, whatever you got going on that you know is not right in your heart, we just want to pray with you. Glory to God. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. It's already getting better because you walk this way. It's already getting lighter because you obeyed the voice of God. It's already getting lighter. You're already halfway there to your blessing and your breakthrough. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you for being a God who knows all, sees all, and can do all. Thank you, dear Lord, for seeing our heart today, for seeing our burden, for seeing our issue, and giving us this chance to do something about it. Thank you, sir, that we can pray to you. And we realize by now, God, that real prayer is not always about getting us out. But in this prayer, we want to invite you in. To whatever's in our heart, whatever's in our mind, whatever's going on in our lives, because we trust you beyond anything we feel, anything we see, or what's being said. So, Lord, now I lift these your sons and daughters. These are your children, and you know everything about them. You know all that concerns them. You know everything about them because they're yours. You created them for your purpose according to your will. And I pray now in the name of Jesus that by your divine power, oh God, will you touch these your people. Lord, will you heal the brokenness? Will you remove the burden? Will you silence the chaos that's in their mind? We come against the assignment of the enemy meant to make them self-sabotage themselves, to self-destruct. We come against that suicide spirit in the name of Jesus. Destructive thoughts, violent thoughts, unholy imagination, things that have been placed on their mind that we know are not like you. We stand against that assignment in the name of Jesus. And we call them blessed in spite of. It's been a stressful week, traumatic week. A lot of us were triggered by some things that took place this week. But Father, you knew we would see this day before we did. And so Father, help us today to still look to you, knowing all of our help still comes from you. God, I ask now for peace beyond our own understanding. I pray for peace. And we know peace is not always nothing going on. But even while we're catching hell, we're still looking at heaven. Thank you for your peace that allows us that we could get them back, but we're going to let vengeance be yours. Help us to keep our hands clean today, God. Help us to keep our hands off of it. Help us to keep our mouth off of it and trust that you're going to see us through it. Help, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Lord, will you deliver somebody who's in bondage today? Somebody who's dealing with a storm they haven't told anybody about. I pray, oh God, that you will silence that storm and be with them, oh God, as they ride it out. As the winds may blow, as the rain may fall, I pray, oh God, that the ship will still be intact because we're riding through it with you. Oh Father, I pray that you will heal today. Some are sick and infirmed in their body. Some are infirmed in their mind. Some are just heart sick. And I pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you will heal these your children. You are the God who heals us. And we ask now, God, that you will heal. That has already been done. Even though we don't feel it, we trust by your word and by your power that you have already healed us. And give us what we need to walk in our healing. Help us to see it before it even comes to pass. I pray, God, so today somebody has lack. Somebody's going without today, God, and I pray that you will be a constant supply. For we said that the column of 1,000 hills belong to you. And we know, God, that you are our God, and you shall supply all our need according to your riches and glory. So I pray, God, that you provide bread, that you provide food, that you provide whatever they need, God. You be our provider. The job is not our provider. The bank is not our provider. The government is not our provider. You are our provider. And we trust that you will provide all we have need of. Will you do it, oh God? Will you do it, oh God? Somebody's under attack today, God. Somebody under the sound of my voice under attack. But we know that your word says no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, you will condemn. This is our heritage, God, according to your will and your way. And so we thank you, God, that we won't worry about it at night. We won't be afraid to walk out wherever we need to go and go. We don't understand the enemy will become our footstool because you are still our God. So help us to put it under our feet. Help us not to do like they do. Help us, God, to not what's going on with us happen in us. Help us, oh God. We need your touch, dear Master. Good God, we need your love today. Somebody's dealing with some stuff they haven't told anybody. Somebody's crying silent tears today. But Lord, be our comfort. Your word says you're near to the brokenhearted. So I ask God that you come close today. Come close to us, oh God. Let us come close to you. Meet us in our moment. Meet us in our difficulty. Meet us in our storm. Meet us in our pain. Help us to let it go and cast our cares upon you, knowing you care for us. Lord, we need your touch today. We need your touch. Will you dispatch angels even now? Not just at this altar, but to the situation. That by the time we get to it, it's already worked out. You say, God, that we have not because we ask not. And we're asking you, good God, to meet us today. To work it out for our good.
Help us to hold to your unchanging hand as we go through this faith walk. There are some things we understand, God, by your own will we can't avoid. But give us the strength, dear God, if it be your will, to make it through. And we're learning about your comfort. We're learning about your strength. We're learning about your healing touch. We're learning about prayer as we go through these valley moments. But Lord, we know that when we go through the valley, eventually we're going to come out. So give us strength. Please, oh God. Now, Father, I believe today that you can trust these your people to bless them. You can trust them to meet that need. You can trust them to fight that battle. You can trust them to heal that affliction, because they will not brag. They will not boast. They'll not say what they did. They'll give you every bit of the glory. They're going to say what God did. They're going to say that you did it again. You made a way. You opened a door. You fought that battle. You gave the healing. You brought the deliverance. You brought the miracle. You gave the provision. Lord, you did it again. And so, God, we praise you in advance. We don't wait till the battle's over. We don't wait till it's done. Right now, because we give it to you, we've got the victory. So help us walk in victory. Help us live in victory. Help us talk in victory. Help us receive in victory. In the name of Jesus, it is well. 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 Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well. It is well in our soul. To you be the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now come on, give God praise like you know he's already worked it out. Let's see if the people of God can give God a praise like he is due him. Let's see if we can give God the glory like it's due his name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Now breathe. 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 Relax. Remove the pressure. Relax. God's got you. If he brought you through that, he's going to bring you through this. Do you believe your God will bring you this far and leave you right now? You ought to bless his name right where you are. It is well. It is well. Glory to God. You may be seated in the presence of God. God bless you today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I dare you to tell three people it is well. I dare you to tell three people it is well. I don't care what they said, it is well. I don't care what you heard, it is well. I don't care what you feel, it is well. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is well. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It is well. It is well. My God, my God, my God. My God, my God, my God. It is well. Have you any rivers that seem uncrossable? Have you any mountains you cannot tunnel through? That's all right. Your God specializes in things that seem impossible. And guess what he will do? For no other power can do. Here's your word today. The more impossible it seems, the better it's about to get for your life. It's just right for God. God be the glory. Father, we thank you once again that we're lighter now, that we're ready to receive from you. Bless this word, oh God, is already blessed, but bless your people as we speak it, share it, and receive it. And we give you all praise, glory, and honor in advance. We declare a soul be saved, a life be changed. To you be the glory. Have your way, oh God. Speak, Holy Spirit. Your people need to hear from you. And we give you glory now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. St. John chapter 2. Gospel according to John chapter number 2. St. John chapter 2. I want to begin reading at verse number 1 for the benefit of our time together. God bless you today. We've got to grow to the point that we come expecting. You got to come expecting. And then get to the point that I won't leave until something happens. You got to be so focused. You got to be so sincere. I'm not walking out that door until I meet my master. Do you realize, see, you understand the dangers you've seen, but you have no idea the dangers you did not see to allow you and I to come to this place once again. For us, for the most part, three more degrees southward, we stuck in ice too. 3 more degrees. You take about a 5 or 10 minute drive north, and it could have been the other way. And you think I'm gonna let stuff and situations. Now, the problem is God can throw out your house, but you gotta throw out your heart. I better leave that alone, but it's some frozen hearts. That's the problem. Not frozen houses. John chapter 2, verse number 1. I'm trying to get there. How do you go through all you go through and still just be mean? And good as God is to us. I ain't saying good as God has been. Good as God is. How you come to his house with an attitude? Do you know how scary that is to come in the reverence of God, in God's presence? That's frightening. St. John chapter 2, verse number 1. In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, when they done got tore up, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Our key verse, verse 11, once again. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee
and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Say amen for the word of God. Grass withers, the flowers fade thereof. Word of our God shall stand forever. I want to tag this text this morning. Let's get it started. Let's get it started. Let's get it started. The Gospel of John is an interesting passage, different than other synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in that those accounts show us Jesus Christ being the Son of God. But John's Gospel, John attempts through his teaching, through his writings, to show us Jesus, God the Son. All Gospel accounts show us Jesus Christ and his movements and how he lived and how what he did. But John really aspires in his gospel account to show us Jesus is not just the Son of God, but he is God the Son. So in other words, we look at John's gospel and we look at the godness of Jesus. We look at the deity of Jesus Christ. So when you see Jesus in John's account, you see God. He is God. He is like God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. We see that Jesus Christ is the personification of who God is. He is God wrapped in humanity. But he is 100% humanity, but he's also 100% divinity. He is God and man wrapped in one. This gospel account shows us, and so in the other three gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see what Jesus performed was called miracles. But in John's gospel, we don't call them miracles. They're called signs. They're signs that are meant to point us to who Jesus is. And when you see a sign, when you're traveling on the highway, you see signs, and the signs tell you of a coming attraction. The sign itself is not the attraction, but the sign points you to the attraction. Y'all missed it. I'm going to try it again. A sign itself is not the attraction, but a sign is meant to keep you going in that direction so you can meet what the sign is talking about. Signs, my friends, are seen in John to point us to the godness of Jesus. So as we look at this first miracle and we look at other miracles that Jesus performs or signs that Jesus shows us in John's gospel, he didn't just do that because people were hungry. He did that to show I'm God. He didn't just calm the storm because the people were scared. He calmed the storm to show I'm the only one who can stop storms. And so we look in our text today in the first miracle, first sign that we see in Jesus' life and ministry is to show us that God and only God can turn sadness to joy. That he introduces himself by changing the narrative of our life so that we'll know that when life goes on, we'll know nobody but the Lord was able to do it. I'm going to try it again. He does some signs. There are some signs that take place in our text and throughout John's gospel that shows us that there are some things that take place. That's why it's not called a miracle. It's called a sign because only God can do the things that you go see in John's gospel. Now, government will take credit for feeding. Government will take credit for providing. Hospitals will take credit for healing and making folks feel better. But there are some things in John's gospel only God can do. Only God could take water to wine. Only God could take a two-piece fish dinner and a snack and make it feed a multitude. Only God could do some things to tell a storm no. Only God can do it. And lest I hold you too long and bore you, you yourself are a living miracle, a living testimony, and a living sign. Now, you ain't going to tell the truth on a Sunday morning because you don't want everybody to know how bad it's been. We got our halos attached today. We got our halos connected. We got our church clothes on. But some of y'all know that it was the bottom of the ninth, and you had two strikes and one more bad swing, and you would have been out of there. But you are living now, living proof that it was no
nobody but the Lord who made some things happen in your life. Now, you've been bragging on yourself. You brag on your diet. You brag on your money. But the truth of it is, it was a God who sat high, who looked low, and met your need. Is there anybody in Zion who does not mean admitting today, I am a living testimony that God is real? He did it. And when I come to the house of God, I'm not looking for people. I'm looking for signs. I want to see God heal anybody this week. I want to see that God break through in somebody. I wish I had some people who don't mind being a sign this morning. Yeah, God did it again. Yeah, God spared me. Yes, God blessed me. Yes, God delivered me. He gave me another day. He gave me another week. He took care of my family, took care of my children, gave me a roof over my head. He did it again. In the sign, I'm looking for some signs. Because see, some folk are lost. Somebody comes in the house who's lost on their way on this life, and they come to the church, they ain't looking for my talent, they ain't looking to see how cute I am, they looking to see if I'm going to show a sign. And will anybody bless the Lord at all times? Because you know God has been good. And so, I didn't intend to do all that, but I was going to be quiet and demure. I was going to be all dignified, but I see too many signs all over the room. And these signs propel me to keep on going. I see some cancer survivors. I see folks who came out of surgery. I see folks God spared. I see who God has provided for. I can't help but lift my hand and say, Lord, thank you. Because I see some signs. And when I wanted to give up hope on this journey, I look out there and I see signs. Yeah, that's why I can't give up, because I see signs. Let's get it started. Jesus, all of us are in one or two categories. God has already been good. You just weren't paying attention to it. Or two, God's getting ready to do something in your life that you can never deny him again. The goal is to take us from verse 1 to verse 11. Because we got some people walking with him who really don't know him yet. And by the time we get to verse 11, the folk who walk with him go start believing in him. Because just because you walk with him does not necessarily mean you believe in him. Just because you got on the bus don't mean you're going to school. Now, some of us who walk with the Lord, but really we walk with people who walk with the Lord. But by the time we get to verse 11, hopefully, prayerfully, we'll get to that point in that last clause where it says they believed in him. Because my task is to show you how the Lord works stuff out when nobody but the Lord could work it out. I just want to show you Jesus. Is that okay today? Now, I know he going to pay you. I want him to pay your bill. I do. I want him to heal you. I want him to fight that battle. I want him to get them enemies off of you. I do. But I got to talk about Jesus. Because if I talk about Jesus enough, you'll start looking at him and not looking at what's wrong with your life. Because if you wake up tomorrow, you're going to have something wrong with you. Before you go to bed tonight, gonna be something wrong with you. So if you're looking for a spot-free life, that ain't gonna happen until the Lord come back. Amen. Amen. But it's time for the people of God to know how good it is you have it when the Lord shows up in your life. Our text today, we about to try to see if we can get it started today. When Jesus starts his ministry, Jesus has lived for 30 years at the time of our text and has not yet started the ministry. And so we begin today with a significant setting. The setting we find ourselves in this morning, beloved, is very significant, although it seems insignificant. Sometimes we're looking past miracles, looking for miracles. We're looking past our blessings, looking for a blessing. Somebody today is crying about pain, and the blessing is you can feel it. Because somebody today can't even feel anything. I know I made you mad right there, because you've already made your RSVPs for a pity party. Because you let yourself tell yourself and nobody but yourself, nobody's got as bad as you. But I come against that today because there could be worse in your life. It's not as bad as you think it is. Now, if you still, when you get that, people won't come to your pity party and you'll stop having them. It's a significant setting. The Bible said there's a wedding. This place called Cana. A wedding. At a place called Cana, there's a bridegroom and a bride. At a place called Cana. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, she's not called Mary in our text. She's called the mother of Jesus. She's called woman. But she's not called the mother of Jesus. Why? Because I told you in John's gospel, he don't have a mama. She's not Mary because the focus is about him being son, being God. So God don't have parents. Maybe I'll try that for Bible study. I won't do that today. He's God. So we don't have titles because he's getting ready to get it started. And for 30 years, he's been a carpenter. He's been a carpenter. Now, we heard back in Luke how he was born of a virgin. But now, we're supposed to believe that Joseph and Mary raised this young man, and she was pregnant, and Joseph ain't touched her. We're supposed to believe that. And this thing that went on for 30 years. With everybody looking at Jesus, everybody looking at Mary, and they talking about it because we ain't seen these miracles yet. She keeps saying he a Messiah. She keeps saying that he's going to be the, he's going to separate right from wrong and bring justice and die on the cross. He's in a building with decks and porches. He's out there in the woods putting the house together. He's up on a roof. He ain't on no tree dying. He's on a roof putting together a deck. 30 years, they're living with this scandal. Because we're supposed to believe, ma'am, that the Holy Ghost got you pregnant. And the way it looks like God was lying. Or Mary was lying. That text says they went to a wedding took place, and watch this, child of God. Jesus and a few of his disciples and Mary, his mother, were invited. Wait a minute. Now, last time I checked, a wedding was a social event. The text does not say there's revival. It's not revival in Cana. It's not a crusade in Cana. It's a wedding. Ain't no sermon. Ain't no devotion. Ain't no praise and worship period. And they had the nerve to invite Jesus, watch this, to a party. Y'all got the brakes on me. I say it's a wedding, not a baptism, not Bible study, not BTU. And they invited Jesus and his disciples to come party. That ain't the tragedy. The tragedy is Jesus' disciples and his mother went. I'm going to try it again. Y'all act like I'm making this up. The Bible said there was a wedding where Boo and Bae come together. And the weddings in this day lasted up to either 1 or 2 weeks. So it wasn't just Saturday at 5. And then by 8, you got to be at the Forrester building. This was a day where the man and the woman came and hooked up, and they go out and party some more. Come back home, get some food, everybody dance, and they party some more. Electric slide, well, there wasn't no electricity then. It was just a slide, and they came together, and they were two-step and three-step. It was a party. It was a party. Can the church say party? Party. Now, if I wasn't in the church, I'd tell you what Biggie says. Party and It was a party. It was a social gathering. It was not church. Wasn't no laying of hands. It was all. But it wasn't the kind of all you think. Because in order to help make the party go, they had wine there. Fermented grape juice. Because it was a celebration. Y'all done shut down right there. Because if this is true, that means Jesus is spiritual and social. I'm going to try it one more time. He was invited not to preach. He was invited to participate. He wasn't invited to lay hands yet. He was invited just to be a part of the celebration. And part of our problem is we don't invite the Lord. Because somehow you don't let somebody fool you believing that your God ain't social. That you can be 100% saved and 100% have a good time. That's why y'all got pruned faces up here today, but then you didn't last night. Because wherever you was last night keeping warm, you were skinning and grinning. But you come up in God's house and act like somebody shot you or stung you, or you've been eating prune or lemon sandwiches all morning, because you don't know how to be spiritual and social. But I come to tell somebody, I can have a good time and still be holy. You ain't gonna be no wet blanket on my party. That's what's wrong with y'all. That's wrong with some of y'all. Y'all don't know how to be social because you're so holy. Stay up in that house with a Bible open, but ain't never got your ears and eyes open. Jesus is my man. No, he ain't. You need to go out there and find you one. Learn how to be social. I don't need nobody. Yes, you do. Two are better than one. The word says that. Who told you it's okay to be isolated? Who told you to stay up in the house under some curtains closed looking crazy? Because you got to learn how to be spiritual and social. Oh, that sounds so religious. It sounds so dutiful. Oh, I just got God on my mind, baby. As long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody. Get cold enough. I better leave it. That Bible don't keep you warm at night. Wrapped up in a prayer shawl. You could have been on a date that day. I'm wrapped up and tangled up in the Lord. No, you shouldn't be. And just because you join church don't mean you lose your personality. Learn how to have some balance. Learn how to be holy and human. If there's something that's not going to jeopardize my faith or jeopardize my walk with God, I don't mind going. I would listen, because guess what? If Frankie Beverly and Maze, it's going to be the same song. You make me happy, and I'm going. I ain't going to hell before I let go. I wish I had somebody want to have church with me today. I'm learning. I ain't worried about no rules and regulations, and y'all put me in a box. I want to have a good time with the life God gave me. He was invited, and he went. Be social. Look here, you don't catch flies with vinegar. You gotta have some honey. beautiful women. I ain't think by no man. Well, what are you thinking about? Just cause it's snow on the roof don't mean the chimney don't still burn. Old rat still like some cheese. Y'all ain't. You gotta learn how to be spiritual and social. And the reason why y'all laughing, because God done freed some of y'all today, because church folk done put you in a box and don't want you to enjoy your life. They want you to be prunes like they are. They want you to smell like old mothballs like they do. Put on some perfume. Smell good. Put your hair on and put your little edge control and go out there and have a good time and look like somebody. Now don't put it on this week. It's too cold. That stuff will freeze. But when it's normal, throw out, put that stuff on. Am I preaching all right to y'all yet? Church folk put you in a box, you can't have a good time. You don't have to have a good time after you're broke down. And give God your life after you're broke down. You can be young and enjoy life, and even when you're older, you can still be youthful. I'm not going to die until my heart stops beating. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Some of y'all done died before it's even time to have your funeral. I better leave that alone. It's a significant setting. They have a wedding, a celebration. Jesus is invited, and Jesus says yes. He RSVPs. I'm bringing me and a plus three or four. We're coming to the party. Some of y'all can't get past that. Because Jesus does not start the miracle at church. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy, Ham. You think the only place God goes do the amazing stuff is at church. If you invite him, you'd be amazed what he'll do when you invite him. If you invite him to your home, he'll turn it around. Invite him to your job, your workplace, he can turn that around. Invite him to where you are, he can turn that around. Because he's a gentleman, he ain't gonna show up anywhere he's not invited. Bible says this is a significant setting, and the Bible says they party in so much. I mean, they having a party, you hear me? And the Bible says there's wine there. In the midst of finger foods, you know, the meatballs, and little smokies, and chicken salad, and tuna, on a cracker, on bread for some, spinach dip. I'm trying to remember everything we be having right here for finger foods. Wings, flats, and drums at the party. It's the equivalent of a y'all, can I tell you what this really is? This setting is the equivalent of what we call a repast. And at a repast, if truth be told, we're no longer thinking about the dead. Look how y'all looking at me now. The repast ain't for the one we crying over. It's the repast for the folk who hungry after they're embarrassed who they crying over. And with tears in their eyes, they're going to still eat some chicken. I've noticed that cake seemed to soak up the tears. That by the time they get through eating at the repast, everything seemed to be a little bit better. And if people put a lot of pressure on themselves to make sure there's enough food and drink for the repast. Because it goes from being a solemn hour to a social hour. And if you mess around and run out of chicken, man, we went up there to New Zion for that repast. And they should have known there's going to be a lot of people come. And do you know what happened? Them blankety blanks ran out of chicken. Carolyn Boyd went back there and fixed me a ham sandwich. I told Carl, if you don't take this set, where my chicken at? It's a shame what kind of repairs they be. Don't, tell you what, if you want to have a repair, don't have it up there. Which leads us now to a shameful setback. Because the Bible says, beloved, they have the party. Jesus shows up. They're having a good time, but the wine runs out. And in Jesus' day, when the wine runs out, that's like putting a black eye on you as the bridegroom and those who are hosting the wedding. It's shameful. It's shameful. Because everybody in Cana and around going to be talking about you. You're going to get embarrassed, such as our brethren who've been moved from their seat in the back. It's embarrassing. Look how the Lord helped you preach right there when he helped you preach. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. It's embarrassing. Did everybody know you ran out of wine? Everybody gonna be talking about you. They ain't gonna remember the wedding. They ran out of wine. All that they spent on flowers. All them groomsmen and bridesmaids. And ran out of liquor. All that dancing, all that singing. And they ran out of wine. Because wine was a symbol of status. Wine was a symbol of joy and celebration. And if you're gonna run out of anything, don't run out of wine. And they got, and so now they run out of wine. So now if they don't do something about this, the party gonna stop. But it wasn't time for the party to stop, just probably ran out of something. Thanks be to God. Have you ever had some times in your life, you've had some setbacks? You've had some stuff that ran out, but you've been perpetrating? Okay, y'all been with me about 20 minutes and y'all shut it down on me. Reason why we stunting today is because we don't want people seeing us with a setback. Because shame is worse than some stuff we could ever imagine in our life. Because y'all done pump folks off like we the Kennedys. You ain't no Kennedys. You ran out. That was a time you were young, but you ran out. There's a time you could run and jump and play, but you ran out. Now if I can just get out of bed in the morning, to God be the glory. I wish I had some people that ran out. I better get up and do all I can now while I'm up. Because if I get back on that couch, that's it for the night. That's right, Rosie. Help me, Rosie. Ain't no worse feeling in the world than sitting down. I got to get back up again. Somebody in this house done rocked themselves to sleep trying to get up out of a chair. Because it's done ran out. I watched the boxer last night. You saw that boxer last night. Boy, that man hit him so hard his toupee fell off. You know why? Because his head ran out. Do you know how hard you got to get hit? For glue to not stick anymore? Nobody remembers the knockout. They remember the fallout. Shame. And when life happens to us, we're more worried about shame than getting things being real with ourselves. And sometimes us in the house today, we done ran out of joy. We done ran out of peace. We've run out of faithfulness. We've run out of sincerity. We've run out, but I'm here, so won't nobody say nothing. That's how I can have mad Christians and dirty deacons and pitiful preachers and ugly ushers and critical choir members because we done run out. But I'm too ashamed to admit that I'm running short because I forgot who I invited to the party. You got a trump card you can play. His name is Jesus. And it don't have to be the way it is. Here's your shout today. The way it is not the way it has to be. It can be better if you're going to talk to Jesus. It can go higher if you talk to Jesus. Don't be stuck and status quo, give the Lord a chance to fix your shortage. It don't make a bit of sense for us in church every week and not be joyous. You mean last month? Meaner this month. Cold last year? Colder this year. I mean, I can say this as a pastor. I don't understand. I'm lost on church folk and Christians, quote unquote Christians, who never smile. That bothers me. And it has nothing to do with your personality. Because I know most of y'all's personality. And you grin when it's convenient. You faithful to something. Something bakes your potato. I done seen it. I done been to some weddings. And that's why I leave after I get them license signed. I done learned, get out of there. Because you're going to see some stuff come Sunday morning. And it'd be everything in me. Hey, sit down, sit down. Don't come in on Sunday doing that because you did the same thing last night. That's why I go and leave, so people don't be uncomfortable because, oh, I can't cut up like I want to. Oh, the pastor up in here. So I go and get them license signed, and I skedaddle. I give me a plate, and then I skedaddle. I give my meatballs and my little smokers and all that. And I skedaddle, because I know I'm not trying to mess up your good time. But then don't come in there Sunday morning, act like God ain't good, and you can't celebrate and praise God, because I done seen you. Whatever this little electric slide, I talked about that, with that Tamia dance, that takes practice. That takes letting somebody show you how to do it. So you can do it. So you mean I can't submit to spiritual guidance and teach you how to live and teach you how to walk? You gonna let somebody teach you how to dance, but can't nobody teach you how to walk? The devil is a lie. But you trying, you ran out. Some folks, y'all, I gotta tell the gospel truth today. Some folk in church cause ain't nothing else to do. Why my amens quit? And now, instead of being grateful for today, you're still looking back at yesterday. I remember, boy, I used to be a whippersnapper like that, boy. And now my whip done got snapped. And now we mad because of what we can't do no more. But I got some fruit. I still got some power in me. So stop being mad about not being young and just be happy I'm alive. Stop being mad at folk because they younger. They ain't they fault. You mad that young girl because she got a skirt. They ain't cause that skirt too high. It's cause yours too low. Cause if your skirt was that high, we calling somebody. Mother did, I lost her ever loving mind around here. So we gotta tell the truth and stop worrying about the shame part. Some of us need God to touch us with power. We done run out of excitement. We run out of enthusiasm. We run out of zeal. We've lost our passion. We've lost our enthusiasm about saving souls. We just in here in church. And you're a wet blanket. Because you remember yesterday. How do I say goodbye to what I had? That's all wrong with some of y'all. That's all wrong with some of y'all. Iron sharpeneth iron. Instead of sitting there criticizing some of these young folk, sharpen your iron, hang around them. I better. It's a shameful setback because now the truth comes out in this text. And if we don't do something, everybody gonna know we run out of wine. And it don't make no sense to come to God's house today and you run out of wine. Remember, I asked some of y'all to come to this altar if you're admitting the fact that you're going through something, that you're struggling, that you're frustrated. Somebody ran out of wine, and you needed the Lord to fix it. And you can't be worrying about your position in church. You can't worry about what people go say. Look here, I just had a hell of a week, and I need God to touch me. I got some stuff, because I know if I don't come to this altar today, I'm going to jail tomorrow. Do I have anybody who don't mind telling the truth that every day ain't no day? I want to sit there and speak in tongues. I want to sometime. It's a shameful setback. But then here comes, as I hurry, here comes a sincere solicitation. Oh, your boy did some homework. Here comes a sincere solicitation. Now, I know y'all hung up on solicitation. That means ask. $2 word mean ask. Solicitation? Pastor cussing. That ain't no cuss word. It's a word. Solicitation means to ask. Here comes a sincere solicitation. The Bible says, and the woman, his mother, sees there is no wine. And she turns to Jesus and says to them, they run out of wine. This whole big party, all these people. And instead of her going to bridegroom, to the governor of the wedding, she goes to the one who was just at the wedding, not the one who's going to take over the wedding. But she says to him, if you don't take over this wedding, then I tell y'all we're going to talk about getting it started. Yeah. And she says to him, now I know it's been 30 years, but it's time for you to start something. Because it is believed by many commentators that Mary is related to the bridegroom or the bride, which is why it was so important to her that no shame would come to this wedding situation. She has some connection to these people. And she was, it sounds like the picture of intercession. That she is standing in the gap asking the Lord to meet some for somebody else. Now, I like this, y'all. You know why I like this solicitation? Because it's not necessarily for Mary, but it comes from Mary. And if there's anybody who needs the Lord to do something for her, it should have been Mary. But Mary stands in the gap and says, I need you, Lord, Father, Son, to help this situation because I know what you were born for. Watch this. I lost y'all. I told you before, he's about 30 years old this time. Who else but Mary had to live with nothing all this time? I'm about to get in somebody's neighborhood in just a minute. She's been living with a promise that has not come to pass for 30 years. This angel told her, Gabriel told her back in Luke chapter 1, that you're going to be pregnant by the Holy Ghost, and he's going to be the Messiah. He's the chosen king that you're going to carry and give birth to. You're going to bring forth this son who shall change the world. And for 30 years, I ain't seen the world change yet. Watch this. Here's what y'all finna get mad at. Mary had to live with that promise, but never stopped looking for it. I like it. For 30 years, she's had to deal with criticism, scandals, people whispering about her. Look at her. There she go. They go, her and her Messiah. We saw her and the Messiah at Max today. I ain't see him turn nothing. I ain't see him change nothing. They pay for them groceries like everybody else. We supposed to believe that they something special. She had to live with the criticism and the condemnation for trusting God. And somebody else in this room knows what I'm talking about, that you had to live with a promise that has not come to pass yet, and people criticize you and talk about you because you living with something. You said something that you told you believe.